crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but his own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and tell him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who tried o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life Spirit through and give from yonder triune throne. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity.
Welcome. I am Pastor Trudy, and I serve Wood River and all the United Methodist churches, and it's good to join together on this second Sunday of Easter. It's so important for us to realize that we are in the season of Easter, and so we continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But even more than that, we are an Easter people. And so every Sunday to us is a mini Easter, and we are to live the whole week through recognizing the power of resurrection in our lives. The good news, the gospel in our lives being lived out. Well, just a few announcements that I would like to share with you for those who are gathering online. Many of you know we are also gathering in person. We have been for a while now, but we are beginning this Sunday our fellowship time after worship. And so there will be a time of gathering together to share with one another, and there will be coffee provided. We want those to know that if you've been waiting to come back to be able to join the fellowship with friends and meet new friends, that time has come. But if you are still uncertain on when it is time to gather again, we want you to know we are continuing during the worship service to wear masks. That is a recommendation. Not all of the people who are joining in worship here in person have been able to receive the vaccination if they wanted to receive it. And so we want to honor that and make sure people know that we're trying to make this a safe place for all those who want to gather. And there will be a time that we will not mask we do look forward to that time. But we want people to know, if you want to stay for fellowship, we recognize with coffee and other beverages that we aren't going to be wearing masks. So you can be responsible and make your own decisions when it comes to that. As we join together, we are going to be entering into a new series called First Love. And maybe you've recognized on our site, there is a devotional series that's taking place called First Love, written by J.D. Walt from Seedbed Publishing. And you can participate daily in that devotional. You can go to Deeper Connections. It's a group that is a part of our Wood River First United Methodist Church Facebook page. It has a big blue puzzle, and you can go over there and get those daily devotionals, and so that you can dive deeper into our series called First Love as we study the letter to the Philippians that was written by the Apostle Paul. And so we really want you to know, you can also, there's many ways. You can look on Facebook, and we will be reposting that this week. It's not too late. It's been a week. You can join us right where we're at and continue on, and you can also go back and read the others. And so we just want to put that out for you to know that you can connect with that during the week, just to really help you to grow in your faith, and also in an understanding of what it means to follow Jesus and to know the great love and power of Christ. Before we begin by reading from the first chapter of Philippians, I invite us to a time of prayer, joining together in prayer. Gracious and loving God, I pray that as we gather here online with space dividing us, Lord, that you would connect us by your Spirit. And Lord, at times it will be time that divides us as we listen, others gather and listen and watch at different times during the week. But Lord, we know that you work through your Spirit. And so, Lord, we know that you can connect us and that we can connect with you as we hear your word and learn about how it is to impact our lives, to transform our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are with us. Lord, open our hearts to receive your word and its transforming power in our lives. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and reading all the way through verse 14. That was the text for this week in our devotional. I am going to, because this devotional has a point of holding together, of discovering first love and then living in that love. And so I'm going to draw heavily from the devotional. And when there are direct quotes, I'm going to let you know when I direct quotely from the devotional. But and then I'm going to share some of my thoughts, and then we can join together and allowing this word to impact our lives. And I just shared with many in the church. I had done this devotional with a group of pastors. Zoom. Pastors from all over the country and probably maybe the world, as we joined together for what we called kind of a pastor's retreat. And we some of us met every morning to join in this devotional every day. And it was so life-giving to me that I wanted to share this, and I thought this is a good place for us to begin after Easter, recognizing the power of Christ in our lives, but also to go back to that first love. As we are trying to begin again and gain traction and reboot as a people, and how God is calling us to be in ministry and mission, we have to grasp the first love as the first thing. So I invite you to hear the word of God today. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that you your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As a church, I think we need this letter. This well-worn letter for many in the church. It's only 4 chapters long. It has many scriptures that we quote, and sometimes we call them our life verses. It brings us back to the first things. But most importantly, it brings us back to our first love. A letter for the church. I think it's a letter for the church during this time especially. It's a letter of love, it's a letter of gratitude, and it's a letter of wisdom. This past week, I have been thinking about the churches that I have been at over my life, and I think about the church when I was not a clergy person, and all that they had poured into me, and I also was thinking back to all of the churches and the joy and gratitude that I have for them. But as I was going through looking for something else through some paperwork, I came across a letter that I had written to the church that I served before I came here to Wood River and Alda. It was, as I read it, just all the memories began to come back. It was a letter of gratitude. It was a letter of encouragement, pointing out all the ways that we had partnered together in the gospel, much like Paul was sharing about the great partnership he had in the gospel with the people in Philippi. It was a reminder that our ministry would continue because it was based in the gospel of Christ, and it was not based on me as a pastor who had began a good work in them before I had even come, would continue to carry out his good work in them to completion. Now, I know this is the time of year. I mean, I'm not just going to tell you this right now. This is the time of year in the United Methodist Church where sometimes the anxiety is a little high when the pastor talks about letters and leaving. I want you to know that because sometimes this is when we find out we're going to move or receive a new pastor. That's not what's happening here. As of now, I have no intentions of leaving. And so I want you to know I'm just sharing this as part of the story of looking back and trying to gain a perspective on how Paul was feeling at this time as he is sharing a point of view or his perspective so that the people in Philippi could grow and understand the perspective that God had been working in the past. God is working now, and God will continue to work in them. And so it's about looking at the whole arc of life. Where did God begin the good work in you? When did the good work begin in this church? And where did we first experience first love? The love of God in Christ, the life of faith, and living life in the midst of a community that we call the church, the body of Christ. This study of Philippians has just really drawn me back to my core calling, and it is to Christ. My first calling is to Christ. And that's the point of view that I want to continually to have as my point of view. I think Paul, when he's looking over the span of his life, time and space, and he begins to reflect and thinks about the overarching perspective of his life, he has lots of time. He's in prison, probably in Rome, and he desperately, his heart lands on this church in Philippi that had given so much, the first church in Europe that was planted in a what we would call mini Rome almost. And it was a church that was near and dear to his heart. And he wanted to give the gift of perspective that he had learned in his life that had helped him to help them see what he saw. That Paul had began to see life through God's perspective. He would begin to view all of life from the point of God in Christ. Even though he was in a dark prison cell, he had a new way of seeing that had been formed in him as he recognized his first love in Christ. And he followed Christ. Paul knows he's probably facing execution. This could be a place of no hope and no joy, but yet Paul writes this amazing letter. And this letter, I don't know if this is what he intended, but it has become the letter of joy and encouragement. It was the joy and encouragement to the church in Philippi, but also it has become the joy and encouragement to the church now as we allow it, as we have received it many, many, many years later. I don't believe Paul is writing about last things. We often think about the last things that we want to tell our family when time is drawing near. We feel like we're running out of time or we're in a desperate situation. I believe Paul is writing about first things. First things that are of the utmost importance to living life fully in Christ. He begins by helping us set our perspective. First of all, he's writing it to a church. We've become so individualistic when we're reading scripture and we get that you and we replace it with me. And it's important for us to know that he is writing it to the church as a whole, that these folks had partnered with him in the gospel. He's writing to God's holy people in Christ, the whole church, not just the leaders of church. Actually, that comes later, along with your overseers and deacons, you know, like you two leaders. He's writing to the whole church. And he is wanting them to gain a perspective of life that is based on grace and peace. As he says, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't Paul's peace, and this isn't Paul's grace. This is the grace we receive from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a whole series in Lent on grace, that undeserved love and merit of God. And then peace. And I love the way J.D. Wall writes about peace. And I believe this is the point of view or the perspective from which we need to begin to see our world. The unexplainable way God is putting the world back together in the midst of all the unsettled chaos still spewing out. That perspective that we began with, that God is about bringing his peace on earth, and he continues to work in the midst of our chaos, our brokenness. Those words spewing out seem to be good words for our time. And it's a peace that God began to work out before and is presently working out and will fulfill in its right time. And to know this peace that comes through Christ, that comes through the power of Christ's resurrection, that this peace between us and God is for us, is to know Christ. That is everything. In order to understand and live out the first things, first of all, we have to come to a place of knowing first love. Paul's life had been formed by first love. We know his first love is Christ Jesus. Because he talks about in our scripture, how I long for you with the affection of Christ. In other words, how I love you and long for you and desire to be with you with the same love and affection that comes from Jesus Christ. The first love had been so formed in him that he was so deeply loved by God through Christ that it informed how he looked at the world and viewed his situation and viewed all of the situations around him. See, Paul knew how deeply loved he was by God in Christ. And his love for others was informed by that love. And I think it's important. I know in the devotionals it talked about how our love for others will never exceed our love for ourselves. And our love for ourselves will never exceed our awareness and the experience of God's love for us. We need to know the first love, Jesus. And the command that is given to us to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And then that second verse, love your neighbor as yourself. All love, the love of Christ, received from us, formed in us, and that love becomes our identity. And when you have that kind of love, you begin to love yourself. And out of all of that love becomes this abundance. To know first things is to know the first love of God. And I wonder how different our life would be. J.D. Walt kind of shared a little bit of his story, and I kind of just summed it up. Why are we here? Why are you joining online to hear this message? Or why are people joining together in a service? Why do we come together? What? So people will know we're good people? Or so that we become good people? So we can raise good children with good morals? So we can refrain from the big and the bad sins? Or maybe just have that life insurance policy, live life the way we want, but we want to make sure we're going to heaven. We come to church to get a little bit of help for our week or to improve our lives or get the stamp. I've been there. I know. I like getting that stamp. I've been there. I've showed up. Or are we coming because of God's love for us in Christ? Is that why we're gathering? Because of the first love, receiving that love through faith in Christ and in knowing that love and increasingly growing in the knowledge and experience of Christ in our lives. That ever-increasing love is first love. Is Jesus the reason to know Christ? Not know about Christ, but to know Christ. To grow in an abundance that is so abundant that it can't be contained. A love that so transforms our heart that we actually love ourselves and we begin to view ourselves through the lens of Christ. And then we begin to love others through the lens of Christ. And more than that, J.D. asks, in his devotion, like there's one of the most profound questions he asked, do you recognize that you're more than just loved by God, that you're actually liked by God? Do you believe Jesus likes you? I think when you begin to understand that it is more than this overarching love. Of course, God has to love me because God is love. And so therefore, God loves me just because God has to. But then to realize that God actually likes us and sings with rejoicing over us, that he would leave the 99 just to seek after our own heart, that Jesus calls us friends. I believe when we can get to that point, that is a transformational moment. Because we often treat God like the moon. I know I did. I know I did. J.D. Walt uses the moon and sun in a different way in his devotional, and science is my thing. And so I'm going to talk to you about how I experienced the moon and the sun as I encountered the first love for the first time. And many of you know my story. But we often treat God like the moon, always there, but yet very distant. That's how I always thought of God. There really wasn't any closeness to God. And my heart was breaking because of that. But when I think about that, you know, we can think about that moon. And it often shows us great beauty, but yet it's always far away. And so we do capture a glimpse of who God is, the beautifulness of God. But it was on a walk early in the morning when I turned my attention to the sunrise and thanked God for the sunrise. It was that the light of Christ and his presence penetrated my heart. And I knew that Jesus loved me. And ever since then, I've been on this journey of understanding that Jesus not only loves me, but likes me. It's a hard journey to move from actually that place of love to knowing that Jesus likes me and wants to be with me and that I belong fully to him. And so, as that truth grows in me, it's transformational. It's the power of Christ in me. It's resurrecting new life as it grows, as that love continues to grow. And it's that joy of knowing you are loved and liked so deeply that it cannot be contained, that it overflows. And so, as you know, Christ's love, you begin to love others in the same way. And you even begin to like others. Isn't that crazy? I talked about that letter at the beginning I had sent to the church before I was leaving to come here. I had to entrust them to his love, that God would continue to work in their lives and love them, and the work of the gospel would continue. Because I also believe in a God who sends, and that I was sent here to Wood River and Alda for a season, however long that season is, to love and to care for you and entrust their love and care to another pastor. So I turned my heart toward here, knowing that I already loved you, because that love of Christ was in me that compelled me to love you. And so I loved you before I even came. But as we get to know each other, I actually like you. I actually like you. You are the ones that I'm called to now to partner with in the gospel. As you have been partnering together in the gospel before I even came, it'll be almost 4 years, we're to continue that partnership together in the gospel. Now, since I've come here, we've had some difficult times. We've had floods. We've had a pandemic. And that change and that transition and that hardship has hit everyone in different ways. But I think it's so important that we turn, especially during the hardship of the time, that we turn to the I want to know Christ as our first thing, because that's our first love, Jesus. I want to know Christ, that Christ is our life, and that we would stay there and we would live from there. To know Christ, that would be our focus. not just to know about Jesus, but to know Christ. So as it says in John 15, that we remain or we abide in Christ at all times, to know Jesus as Lord, Savior, Defender, Equipper through the Holy Spirit, but also to know Jesus as friend. To encounter Christ is to know the power of grace and the power of peace, to have that perspective when we look out into the world, the perspective of love, and that God is continuing to work, and we're just going to join and participate in the great work of God as we grow in that love. It's been a difficult year, but what is ahead is always unknown. So we're just stepping into some more unknown. But I think this is a time to know our first love, to know Christ, the love that transforms us and others and has the power to change and transform the most difficult of situations and bring forth resurrection life. There's that word. Resurrection life, not just waiting, but beginning to live it now. Paul's perspective is a point of view is no longer about self, but the advancement of the gospel, as we hear in the second part of the reading. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. To advance the gospel. What's happening to him is pure joy to him because of the advancement of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. When you view hardship and tragedy from the perspective and the point of view of God, you begin to see all of life as an opportunity. The whole palace guard knew Paul was in chains for who? For Christ. And when the world looks at us during difficult and hard times, not that we don't weep, not that we don't grieve, not that we don't experience anger and doubt and all of those questions, but when they view us, do they view us as someone who is in chains for Christ? J.D. Walt puts it this way: it's in the most turbulent storms where Jesus demonstrates the most transformational suffering. These are the places where the awful things that happen to us actually serve to advance the gospel. For the things that happen to us that are outside the realm of God's purposes. I don't believe God causes bad things to happen to us so the gospel advances. But where God uses anything and everything, and the power of Christ's love actually serves through the Christ's love and power, those tragic things actually can serve the purposes of God. That the gospel can spread. It is in the fellowship of suffering that we begin to see the resurrection power. I want to know Christ. First thing. First thing in the morning, I want to know you, Christ. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know the first love. The one who loved me first, who gave his life for me to break the power of sin in my life so I could live without the burdens and the chains, and I could live free through the power of his resurrection. The scripture verse was posted at the beginning of this service. It comes from Philippians chapter 3. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. I invite you to turn to that and to read it every day. It's verses Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. That is going to be our compass as we move through Philippians over the next few weeks. I want to know Christ and the power of resurrection. A lot of times we focus on joy in all of those situations, but this time we know joy's there, but we want to know Christ. I think this is the theme of Philippians. And this has become actually a life verse for me from a long time ago. God has given me verses to cling to, and I think it's been for the past maybe 5 years that I've been clinging to this verse. I want to know Christ and the power of resurrection, but it has taken on a new urgency in my life. Because to know Christ is an invitation. And we are all invited to come on the journey, no matter where we are on the journey. Maybe we're just starting to get our shoes on, or maybe we have been on this road for a long time, but need to hear the invitation of first love again, to refocus, to gain a new perspective, which is God's perspective, to view life from the point of view of living in Christ. The invitation has been sent, and it has been sent again and again and again. Will we accept it? Will we search out the great depths of the heart of God for us and for the church? There is power in community joining together on a common journey of discovering love, first love. In order to gain a new perspective that the one who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Will we join in participating by joining together on a journey of discovering and knowing Jesus Christ? Let us pray. Oh Lord, we want to know the power of your resurrection. But Lord, help us and remind us that that power of resurrection comes from your deep love for us and your deep like for us. So Lord, help us to push into your heart and to experience and encounter that love, and then to live out the command that you have given us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That your love is so abundant that when we push in, it flows out from us. And it connects us with one another. And it's outreaching, and it's meant to connect us with those that we don't even know yet, to invite them to be in partnership with us. And so, Lord, pour out your Spirit. Awaken us to your love so that we can be found fully in your love and know that it's true and that we can live in that love. We thank you for your abundance and your generosity. And we pray for our world and its chaos. And forgive us, Lord, when we participate in that chaos by our words and our actions. Lord, help us to love our neighbors, those that are in need. And we lift up those who need your healing, that need to know that you love them. We lift up all who are grieving this day, who are on the journey that they don't want to be, who are experiencing tragedy in their life, and they wonder how you can use this, Lord. Lord, meet them there. Give them eyes to see you in the midst of it all. Resurrection, life through the name of Jesus. May we turn and receive. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. And so we join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I pray that you go in the love of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and bring glory to God the Father, and that you would participate in the peace that comes in Christ. Now we'll join in singing, Be Thou My Vision.
Waking or sleeping, the